Chapter 63, The Door is Forced Open. The hot-headed Kanaim of Slutsk were unwilling to abandon their plans. All logical arguments and explanations to them fell on deaf ears. "Drive that trickster Makobel away from our city," they demanded angrily. Within a short time, a crowd of Kanaim had gathered around the guest house where Rav Adam was staying. "We will teach him a lesson, so that all the other Mekubalim will hear about it and think twice," screamed one of their leaders. "Get him out of Slutsk immediately," his friends yelled after him. The atmosphere grew more explosive with every passing moment. The Kanaim tried to enter the room in which Rav Adam was staying, but found it was locked from the inside. One of the Kanaim, with a particularly unhealthy degree of chutzpah, began to kick the door violently. Then some of his friends rushed to help him. They were desperate to break into the room and drag the guest into the street in disgrace and teach him a good lesson in public. After a few moments, the door gave in to the strong kicking. It burst wide open with a loud crash. The Kanaim rushed into the room, ready to attack. Inside, they saw a wide room with a table and chair at its center. On the table, they noticed a number of closed svarim. A bed was positioned at one end of the room, and a bookcase was at the opposite end. In one of the corners of the room, they discovered the guest standing, facing the wall, wrapped in his talis and crowned with tefillin. It seemed as if he did not notice any of the commotion going on around him. He stood still, not moving in the slightest. Clearly, he was concentrating so deeply on his davening that he did not hear or see them at all. The Kanaim, who had broken into the room, now stood still with respect at this unusual sight. "Maybe we should wait until he has finished Shachris," the leader of the group suggested softly. The guest's davening dragged on for hours. Meanwhile, more Kanaim arrived. They gathered around the building and shouted terrible things at the guest. Rav Adam finally finished his davening. He immediately sat down at the table in his room and began to learn his daily schedule of Torah, as was his custom after davening Shachris each day. The sweet sound of his holy voice filled the room, and because of the broken door, it also reached the street outside. As time went on, the angry crowd waiting outside grew even more enraged. Their patience began to run out. They were not prepared to wait until the guest had finished his Torah studies at his own relaxed pace. Eventually, the men in charge gathered the courage to enter Rav Adam's room. "We insist that you reveal the truth to us," they demanded from their guest. "Are you a member of the group of Mekubalim and Istarim?" Rav Adam looked up from his sefer. "I certainly am," he answered calmly. "I am associated with both of the groups that you mentioned, and I even merited to become a disciple of my master and rebbe, the tzaddik and gaon Rav Yoel Bal Shem of Zamech." The faces of the Kanaim twisted in rage, and their eyes shot looks of disgust toward their guest. Rav Adam closed his sefer, stood up, and began to walk toward the door, together with the Kanaim. When the crowd saw the guest emerging, they began to scream and yell at him, demanding that he leave their city immediately. Rav Adam simply stood in the doorway, still wearing his talis and tefillin. A staircase led down to the street, which was lower than the doorway in which he stood, gazing over the entire angry crowd. All of a sudden, he opened his mouth as if to speak. When the crowd saw this, they began to jeer and scream even louder. But after a few seconds, the noise died down completely. The powerful and confident voice of Rav Adam boomed even louder than theirs, and he could be heard clearly all along the street. "From your point of view, and according to the education that you received from your earliest years, I completely understand why you're angry with me," he began. "You have been convinced to the point that you truly believe that I am mistaken in my approach. You also believe that I led others to make the same mistake. That is why you display such hatred toward me. In a certain way, your actions even impress me. Your actions prove that you do not believe in one thing but then act differently. You are ready to speak loudly and act firmly according to what you believe in your hearts, without compromise and in every situation. That is an honest approach." The Canaan were shocked to hear their guest speak in such an open-hearted way. Now they strained their ears to catch every word he said. "I was taught the same as you when I was young," Rav Adam continued. "I was taught and raised by many of the great leaders of the Misnagdim, those who opposed the Nistarim and Mekubalim. At that time, I thought exactly like you do, and I, too, held a great hatred in my heart toward them. But much later, I matured and decided to personally discover the truth of the disagreements between the Misnagdim and the Nistarim. For that reason, I traveled to Zamech. After all, the Torah instructs us, V'derashta hetiv, you should inquire, investigate, and question extremely well, before passing judgment on your fellow Jew. I was 33 years old at the time. After spending some time with Rav Yoel Baal Shem, I realized that none of the accusations against Rav Yoel and his followers were true in the slightest. I then accepted him as my teacher and instructor in how to serve Hashem. I remained in Zamech for the next 15 years in order to learn in his yeshiva. Only then, after those many long years, during which I had learned how to learn Nigla together with Nistar, was I finally accepted as a member of the group known as the Nistarim. The guest fell silent for a moment and gazed deeply at all of those gathered before him. The fire that had blazed in their eyes only moments ago had now dimmed. Instead of the burning hatred, there was now a sense of cautious interest in Rav Adam. "Most of you are young men," Rav Adam continued. "I encourage you to look into the matter very carefully before you speak and act against a holy path to serving Hashem. Look deeply for the truth before you sin with your mouths by speaking badly about the greatest people in the world, such as my Rebbe, Rav Yoel. May the memory of the Tzaddik be a blessing. In fact, because you are bold and honest people, I sincerely hope that the day will come when you will also discover the true path, for it is a path that blends the fiery love for Hashem with true love for all Jews, as well as a love for the deep study of both parts of the Torah, Nigla, its revealed teachings, and Nistar, its inner secrets." Rav Adam finished his words with the following statement. "I must tell you clearly that the words of insult I heard from your mouths today are far more precious to me than all the words of praise and honor that you gave me yesterday, after my drasha in the shul. That is because your words today were spoken with much deeper feeling and greater truth." The Kanaim were left extremely confused by Rav Adam's words. They seemed to have taken away their ability to respond. The once angry crowd dispersed as the men made their way back to their homes. Rav Adam returned to his room, sat down to complete his learning, and only then removed his talis and tefillin. Word of what had transpired at the guest house spread quickly throughout Slutsk. The elder commerce scholars of the city hurried to beg forgiveness from their guest. Rav Adam insisted that this was not necessary. They had not offended him in any way. At the same time, he told them that he did not plan to remain in the city any longer and would continue his journey that very evening.